Hi, this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I'm here today with John Cavallone from Chicago, as you could see. And we're going to talk about his roots, how he got started, and about his Sassano project. So, welcome, John. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
When and why did you get started researching the family?
Started in 2002. My oldest daughter received an assignment from her social studies teacher to find the ancestors that came to America and why. And though I knew a little bit about the family, I didn't know much. So I went over to my Uncle Rosario and Aunt Rosemary, my father's sister, and she opened up a whole new world. My daughter's assignment was quickly completed because all she needed to know was who and why. And the rabbit hole opened up, and ever since I've been digging and learning and putting it out there.
So that's interesting. We all come about this for, strange reasons, but I always believe there's some other force working behind it, to make us find out and want to learn more and everything like
Oh
that.
yeah, I agree.
So that's pretty cool. So how old was your daughter when you started that?
So she was 8th grade, was at 13 years old. Actually, today is her 33rd birthday.
Oh, great.
So,
Happy birthday.
yeah.
Time goes, it goes just so, goes so quick. It's
Yeah.
unbelievable. So I'm intrigued because, you had this very simple assignment, which, most parents, when the kids are doing this, you're like, okay, let's get this done. And normally they tell you the day before. So what, there was a spark behind it that wanted you to like dig into it deeper.
I didn't realize how big our family was. I know my grandparents and I knew that they had siblings, but I come from a divorced family and I didn't see my father's side of the family that much. So when she said that there were 7 kids in my grandfather's family, my grandfather being the youngest, and his oldest sister being 20 years older than he was, I wanted to know more. So I started calling descendants of the family to learn more about each individual great aunt and uncle. And they invited me over to their house and supplied me with pictures of the 19 30s and 40s of the family. And it sparked, okay, I need to know more. So it turned into a family reunion, and I wanted to go back in time to find out as much as I could. It was one of those things that took on a life of its own.
Yeah, that's so cool. And as a little kid, I always liked going through the photo album with my mom. We had the old photo album with the black pages and the little corners,
Yeah.
and it was actually the album itself was like wooden. It was very nice. I don't know where it is now. Maybe my sister has it. But I was always intrigued about it. Unfortunately, I never asked questions way back then. I could kick myself now for not. So where is the family from in Italy?
Sassano, which is about 80 miles southeast of Naples, in
Okay.
Campania.
So kind of Salerno down towards that way, yeah?
Yeah, I've never been there. After 2018, when the research exploded and I got a ton of information, which we'll get into, my intention was by now I would have wanted to be in Italy. I have to walk in the footsteps that my ancestors have for hundreds of years. And then, of course, COVID messed everything up.
I know we were supposed to go April of 2019. We postponed it until, in fact, we were supposed to get back yesterday. And we postponed it again only because I have this grandchild tour booked and to, you know, this whole routing thing where they take you to the houses, you know, it was a whole big deal. When I was talking to them in late July, early August, they were just like, you know, we can't be sure right now that they're not going to close some of the regions, and they didn't. We probably could have gone, but anyway, May, I'm going next May no matter what. I don't, nothing's stopping me.
Yeah.
So what kind of interesting things did you find?
Okay, so I was stuck. I couldn't find my great grandfather's birth record, which you need to determine going back further. So from 2002 to 2018, I was doing my wife's genealogy and a little bit on my mom's side and going to cemeteries and documenting and learning more about the Chicago area that they settled in. And then in 2018, when I found records, civil records online for Sisano, and still couldn't find my great grandfather's birth record, I decided I'm going to Google Sisano genealogy and see if anybody else is doing it. And I came across Peter Barbella's The Sisano Project. And he had been working on it for years, but it wasn't complete yet. And I was one of those pain in the butts. Peter, can I see this record? Peter, can I see this record? And he was sharing the records with me, and he saw my passion, and he's like, "Hey, would you be interested in helping index the records?" And of course. So I spent much of 2018, 2019 indexing the records, which is like 95% complete now. We put it in Google Sheets, and it makes it so much easier to find what you're looking for when you do the searches. And I asked him, I said, "Is there anything you could think of that can help me find this record?" So he's been working on Sisano genealogy for a while, and he reached out to some people. And sure enough, within a couple of days, he's like, "Here you go." He was born in Vibonati. And Vibonati is a town about 30 miles south of Sisano. And my great grandfather and his older sister, by about 9 years, they were born in Vibonati and they moved back to Sisano. So the Cavallones are originally from Sisano. Giuseppe, Francesco's father, decided to go to, I think Vibonati is a like a port city, or it's a very transient. There are back in the 1800s, there are very the names are not consistent. So I'm thinking Italians went there for work or whatever. And so he went there. That's where his wife is from, and they moved back to Sisano, and the rest is history. So that information opened everything up, where I was able to trace my family back to the mid 1600s in Sisano.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com. That's great to get back that far, you know, for because I'm assuming that, you know, they were, you know, I mean, I was able to go back very far, but that's because of the nobility linkage to my grandmother. But they were just regular people, yeah?
Oh yeah, they were regular people, and if it wasn't for Peter obtaining the church records that went back that far, we'd be stuck at 1809.
Yeah, that's the toughest thing, is getting those church records to go back. I mean, that's where I'm stuck on both my mom and my dad's father. Unless you're there and able to get to the records and everything. I mean, you know, I've talked to people that, you know, they send the priest the check and nothing ever comes back, you know.
Right. There's that project, ItalianParishRecords.org, that
Yes.
is doing their best to obtain the church records, to preserve the church records through digital imagery. And Peter had ultimately donated the records to that organization. So they're available for anybody doing Sessanese research.
Right, and that's great. And yeah, you know, Peter's a great guy. So did you find any interesting, you know, occupations or
A couple of things that the Cavallone line was just a very common people until Giuseppe went to Vibonati. I believe that his marriage, he married into landowners because at that point when he went back to Sassano and my great grandfather inherited after his father passed away in the early 1900s, it seemed like land ownership was very important to my great grandfather and everybody who came to Chicago during that time. My great grandfather, his soon-to-be father-in-law, and his brother Vincenzo were the first to settle in the Chicago area, Federal Street. That's where the Sassanese decided to call Chicago home on a like a 4 or 5 block area. And right now I'm working with Kim Stankiewicz of Chicago Ancestry to obtain the real estate torrens of this strip of land, which became Robert Taylor Homes, a Chicago housing project. So all the houses are gone. So Robert Taylor Homes was put up. So there's no visual historical content. And so this woman is helping me obtain warranty deeds and whatnot. That's my next big component of this project is find out that what they paid for the houses, what they sold them for. But they were the majority property owners in Chicago when everybody else around them rented.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So I used to go. I worked for Chase. I used to go to Chicago like 6 times a year for a week at a time. So where is Federal Street in relationship to like the Loop or something like that?
So they were at about 4800 South, and the loop is zero when you go north and south. So it's that'd be about 5 miles ish south of the loop,
Oh, okay.
and then State Street is the zero going east and west, and Federal Street is a couple of blocks west of State Street.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think I've ever gotten down that far south. We used to go more north a lot, you know, to find restaurants. In fact, one of my favorite Italian restaurants, I hate to say it coming from New York, was in Chicago, and it's closed now. Sad. Angeles or something like that. And it was in a house.
Oh,
It was
wow.
so cool, because you would go in there, and they had a little garden and everything, and you would go in there, and it was like going to grandma's house. It was just the greatest way, because they had a bar in it, but they didn't change it into like an open restaurant. You still had rooms, you know.
Wow, that is really neat.
And the food was outstanding. It was the really, really the best food. So now, do you know why they wound up in Chicago as opposed to New York or Philadelphia or someplace else?
Okay, so that's another thing that myself and other Italians in the Chicago area are trying to put that together. 4800 South Federal Street is as far south as the 1893 World's Fair, which was a little further by maybe 3 miles, 4 miles east toward the lake. So there's a possibility, since they came around 1893, maybe a little bit after, that the 1893 World's Fair was a draw. And it's the proximity of 48th and Federal Street to where the World's Fair was. And they also, Federal Street bumped up against the Rock Island Railroad. So I would have to believe there was strategy as to the selection of this Italian enclave. It wasn't by chance. And it's something that, continuing to poke around and ask others that have knowledge of Chicago history, will eventually uncover.
Yeah, well, that makes sense because, I mean, as we know, those enclaves were started by, a small group, and then they told the people in the town and the neighboring towns, come here,
Yeah.
My mom's family was, they were about A's, and somehow they became, I don't know how, but in New York City, they were all icemen. They all delivered ice, uh-huh. at least a lot of them. But they were mostly in Corona, Queens. Somebody started it, and then everybody drifted there, and they all helped each other out, helped each other buy a house, helped each other, put them up in places and things like that. So this is your dad's family, right?
Yes.
Now, was your mom Italian too, or?
My mom is Italian as well. Her family is from Sicily. Nicosia and Bonpietro are the two towns in Sicily that her family is from. And I've dug into those as much as I could. Unfortunately, no church records available that I've located yet. So I've got those families going back to the early 1800s as well. And interestingly enough, where again, I only knew about my grandparents and a little bit about great grandparents. When you start digging, you find out that more of the family, second and third cousins of my great grandparents and grandparents, had come over to Chicago and settled in the same areas as well. A lot of Labrizis and DeLucas are in the area, and they're related. And you'd never know, because not many people put the puzzle together.
No, that's right. Yeah. There's only a handful of us crazy people who want to put all that stuff together. My wife thinks I'm nuts. Until I find, she's Sicilian and Puerto Rican. So when I find somebody in her family, then she feels a little bit different about it. Her dad's family is interesting, because I got his mother's family back to Spain, wow. Believe it or not. It was, pretty lucky in that respect. So now your mom's family, do you know why they came, or just assuming the same thing, that they was all in that kind of railroad World's Fair type of thing?
They settled in a completely different area of Chicago. They settled more to the downtown Chicago, which is now Chinatown. So I haven't been able to pinpoint any reasons why just yet on that side. The Sassanese side has consumed my since 2018. Though I have, done a little bit here and there on my mom's side to find additional stuff. I found so much stuff on the Sassanese that I created that website, SassanoChicago.org, and have been putting up tons of information on my dad's side of the family. I only wish in the future I could do it for my mom's side, but that the church records are going to be needed to go a little further back.
Yeah, and for anybody who's listening and watching the, and I'll put the links up there, but your website has, 20, 30 different surnames that, if anybody knows that their roots are from Sassano, they could go there and probably find that last name.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The project expanded. I didn't want to just do my family. I wanted to do the area and learn about everybody that came over, because if they're second cousins, there's linkage somehow, some way. So sometimes when you get stuck with a brick wall, if you expand your research to other families, some doors will open up. So I've found that, again, many of those families are second cousins of, you know, my family. And I did the pedigree of all those families as well. Links on my website. If you click on the individual's name, will open up a pedigree chart that will go back to the 1600s. So if you have a Chicago family from Sassano, I did much of the work for you to get you that information.
I know, that's great to know, to be able to fast track through that. That's fabulous for anybody that's researching Sassano. So now, did you grow up on Federal Street?
No.
Or in that area?
No. Once the late 50s, when the Chicago Housing Authority started buying up those properties to build public housing, Robert Taylor homes, they pushed the Italians into the neighboring communities, Gage Park, Ashburn, and some of the other surrounding Chicago neighborhoods. So we all moved southwest. It's still in Chicago. So I grew up at about 79th and Western in the Ashburn community. And again, growing up and not knowing my family history and knowing it now, I lived among, again, descendants of those Sassanese that settled on Federal Street, and I didn't even know it. Behind my house, the other street, there were a couple of families that I wish I knew. I could have conversations with them about the family, but I didn't know. My best friend in grammar school, though his last name is Casey, his mother's side is Sassanese. She always talked about Federal Street, but I didn't know any better to put two and two together. I just figured, oh, what a coincidence. So yeah, the world is a lot smaller than I realize when you just start having conversations with others.
Yeah, I know, it makes me nuts that I didn't ask more questions, you know, 60 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever, my grandparents and all of that. And, you know, that's one of the things that I tell people, you know, if you're going to start with grandma, you know,
yeah,
that's the place to start, or older uncles and things like that. I mean, my father was the youngest in his family. My mother was the second youngest in her family. And to your point earlier, there's like a 20-year span between the kids in some cases, you know. And so, you know, as a result, I was about 10 when my grandmother died, and she was 78, you know. So you wouldn't even think of that time to ask them. But, you know, I have asked some of my older cousins that live with my grandmother, and they kind of knew some of the stories. And one great thing that we have is on my mom's side, my cousin before my oldest uncle died, who he lived in Italy until 1950. The whole family was here. He came with his family later, and he was smart enough to interview my uncle in Barese before he passed away. And I never knew this, and once I found out, I said, Joey, you have to translate. I mean, this is the family history. I mean, so we have a record of what it was like living in Torito from like 1910 through 1950, you know, through the war and all of that kind of stuff. And that stuff is gone, you know. If you don't catch it now, it's gone. And I don't know if you heard any of the voices from the past that I've been doing with Anthony, but he was smart enough in the late 70s to interview people in Boston that immigrated to America in like the early 1900s.
Right.
And the stories are just they're just riveting. I mean, and you hear the stories about coming over on a boat ride or living on a farm in Italy, and it's just golden. You know,
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just amazing stuff. Just really, really amazing stuff. So I have to go back to your daughter for a second because I'm thinking about when my daughter was 13, if I had started a project like that, did she say, "Dad, I just have to do this little
Yeah.
piece"?
Yeah. Right. I don't need to do anymore. Well, that's okay. I'm glad you got the information you're looking for, but I need to know more.
Yeah, I wish, I went to a Catholic grammar school. I don't know about you, but I went to a Catholic grammar school, and I wish I had some of this information about my father's mother growing up. It would have been great stuff to have in my back pocket, because I'm a history buff too. So,
Yeah.
it would have been great to be able to say, "Well, I know that guy because he happens to be a great grandfather," or something like that,
Right. And you bring up the history component of it. And, you go to back in the days when you go to school and you're just learning about these events. But then when you do genealogy research and you start going back in time and you're able to tie historical events to a family member. Well, they lived through Napoleon's time. They lived through the United States becoming a nation. It makes things more alive. It's not just some information in a history book. You actually have a bloodline that you could tie to events. So I completely love the component because I love history as well. And I maybe that's a reason why I wanted to delve into this because of the love for and the knowledge for history.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I think that's true. I know in my case that was part of it too, because two things. One is, you look back in time, even here, even going back to the early 1900s, when people first got a telephone or a car. I mean, my grandparents came in 1915. Yours came even 20 years before that. So they were still driving around in horse and buggies, and all of a sudden you have these cars and stuff. It must have been an incredible time. And I think we take a lot of that for granted now because there's something coming up every 10 seconds,
Right. My wife's father was born in 1924, and he served in World War II. And I just love listening to his stories about just the last 100 years of change. And it blows me away. And I'm constantly talking about to teenagers and young adults, have conversations with your family members. We're all human. We all, have successes and mistakes. And when you see that your parents and your grandparents are human and you can have the conversations with them, it broadens your understanding of just life in general. You have to encourage it or else it will, I think it will be lost.
But my mom's mom, she had six sons. The one stayed in Italy, and but the other five were all in World War II. By the end of the war, all five had served, and thankfully they all made it through. But my Uncle Tom was at Iwo Jima, and he drove one of the landing ships, and I have him on video telling the stories about first them shooting at the island and then him driving in. And he said, "All of a sudden I heard these something behind me, and I turned around, and there were bullet holes over my head."
Oh, wow.
And then he was in Tokyo Bay for the surrender, and he said that he looked up and the sky was filled with airplanes. And he said to one of the officers, what's going on? And he said, nothing. We just want to show them what we have.
Wow.
So, I mean, like you said, you don't see that when you watch something on television. You don't get that personal picture. So to your point, yeah, I mean, I've talked to a couple of young guys that have started doing the genealogy, and I love it because it's not an old person thing, you know. It's great to see some, maybe third or fourth generation Italians getting the bug and keeping it alive. Because if we don't do it, it's going to be lost.
Right. And to your point there, and again, since the explosion of information, I've been embracing my Italian heritage even more so. I volunteer at Casa Italia, which is the Italian Cultural Center in the Chicago area, and the library curator, Dominic Candelaro, his big push is saving our stories, which I'm a part of, where we're asking others to write down their memoirs, and we'll help you get them published using Amazon's platform. You don't have to go to a big publishing organization to get your story out there. So I do the covers, and a gentleman by the name of Jason does the interiors. And we've been producing memoirs of Italians to capture those stories before, once again, they're gone.
Oh, no, that's cool. Yeah, I've been working on it for a while. My little book about, my family's. So I'll keep you in touch with that. There seems to be, maybe it's just me, but there seems to be more and more people now, and maybe because with the pandemic, people didn't have anything else to do, so they decided to dig in a little bit more and find their roots, But I've heard so many amazing stories. It's just been so much fun.
I again, with my name out there on Ancestry and the Sasano Project and just other genealogy projects, I've been contacted by others working on their family and suggesting doing a Sasano Project type of research, so others can jump on the bandwagon. Let's index this small town, like Bompietro, for example. I have a gentleman that I'm working with doing Bompietro. I also have another person, Anthony Sotero, who has Sassanese roots as well, and he's from Red Bank, New Jersey. And we're working on some research as well, trying to find common denominators on, why the Sassanese chose these particular towns to settle in. The more I can help others start projects of their own, that they have a little bit of interest, but they need that extra, hey, why don't you look at it this way? Or we can do it, you can get information out there to more people. I'm completely into getting the historical content and information out there for more of Italian heritage to learn about their families.
Yeah, no, me too. And there's a actually a guy on Facebook, Mark Savoia, I think his name is. He's doing something similar with Torito, where my grandparents are from. But I think it's more on Facebook, and this is a much better venue because you're tying all the names together. So I'll have to put him in touch with you, and see if he maybe wants to go down a path similar to that, because
Okay.
He's doing the same thing. He's putting all the records out there, all the birth records, death records, things like that. But it's hard. It's hard to find all that stuff on Facebook, because it gets lost in the shuffle.
Right. I did a Sasano Chicago Facebook page too, and I'm trying to get others involved. And I have a few that posted old family pictures. But yeah, it kind of, unless you go towards the page itself and look, it could get lost in the Facebook noise.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Anywhere you can put it, where it can get some kind of traction, I think something is better than nothing.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, thanks, John. This has been fantastic. A lot of fun. A lot of great information for people whose ancestors come from Sasano. And for those watching it, they could see it up there, sasanochicago.org. But if you're listening, that's the website, www.sasanochicago.org. So thanks again, John.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.